Hello and welcome to Slimming Stories. I'm your host, Claire Oldham-West. So I know it's getting really hard at the moment. It's so cold outside, and I think our intentions to lose weight and to keep fit are kind of on the back burner. I don't know about you, but I'm so busy. And around that, I've got family things coming up. I've got meetups with friends and trying to get organised for Christmas. And at the moment, to be fair, my kids have still not decided what they want. So I've got my son that lives with me and two stepdaughters. And there's all of that going off. And amidst of all of that, I'm trying to focus on my weight loss and those goals. So I know that I need to pull it out of the bag this week. I need something extra special. And I do think Aoife has got all of that. Aoife Larkin is from Kerry in Ireland, and she started her weight loss journey at 25 stone 9 pound, and she's absolutely smashed it. She is now at a healthy weight, and not only has she done amazing things with her weight loss, she's also climbed the highest mountain in Ireland. So I don't want to give you any spoiler alerts, just tune in and listen to Aoife Larkin, because I do think that she will really blow your socks off. Here we go. I've been so looking forward to getting you on the show, and we've had some technical difficulties, haven't we? So
we have between the Storm Lorenzo and God knows what else.
We've finally managed it. So what I'd like to do, Aoife, for today's show is just go right back really with your weight loss. So you've had a large weight loss, haven't you? How much have you lost?
I have. 14 and a half stone.
Wow.
Sometimes I can't believe it myself. So, yeah.
Is that kind of the reaction on repeat from people that are just amazed?
Yes. Well, I used to live in County Wicklow, which is on the east coast, which is just under Dublin. Okay. And I moved down about 15 years ago to Kerry. I was only coming down for 6 months originally. But I'm still here 15 years later. But when I go home, I still count Wicklow as my home. When I go home, I usually get people walking past me because they don't recognize me.
No.
And I have to kind of go, it's me.
It's me.
It's me.
And I've seen some of the photos that you've sent over to me, obviously, for the podcast. And
yes,
the transformation is phenomenal. I can understand why people would walk past you, because you look like a totally different person.
A lot of people actually say, a lot of the people now that I'm meeting, because I'm obviously in some more classes and people join, and they're saying like, oh, you know, you obviously don't have, or you didn't have a weight problem. And I'm like, yes, I did. And I still do. I'll always have a weight problem. And when I show them my pictures, they're like, that's not you, that's your mother.
Yeah.
Or even your grandmother, like, oh. So, yeah.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
So if you just want to start with your starting weight when you first joined Slimming World.
Yeah, I was 25 stone 9.
Wow.
And I am 11 stone 2, so yeah.
What brought you through the doors of Slimming World? What pushed you? Was there a moment or an event, if you'd want to just tell us
more? It was. I went to see my doctor, and I was diagnosed originally with lupus. It's an autoimmune disease. And well, obviously I was very sick anyway, and we couldn't understand, or we couldn't figure out for a long time what was wrong with me. But when I got my diagnosis, one of the first things the doctor said to me was, if you don't do something about your weight, you're going to be carried out of the house in a box. And I was kind of, he was blunt about it, but I think he needed to be, because I didn't see myself as big. Well, I knew I was big, obviously, but I didn't see myself as being dangerously big. And as I'm sure you've seen in some of the photos I sent you, my hair was always the big thing. I had different color hair because I thought people would look at my hair rather than the size of me.
Oh, bless you.
But, so that was that. But yeah, he was blunt and he was honest. And being the type of person I was, it wasn't the thought of dying. It was the thought of having my family or friends having to carry me out of the house in a box at 25 stone 9. So
was it like the thought, the embarrassment of being that way?
Yes. Well, the embarrassment, and you know, the fact that they'd be going, Jesus, we knew she was big, but we didn't think she was
that big.
She was that big. Yeah.
And so, you know, I'd imagine that when a doctor has to have these difficult conversations, and they can see the way that you're at, and obviously the risk to your heart and all those other things, they have to probably think of something that's going to be dynamic enough to hit home for you to make
to hit home. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, I always had a good relationship with this particular doctor anyway. Like, they were always honest with me, and, you know, because I was thinking I was a hypochondriac. I was going in with symptoms of this and symptoms of that, and they still couldn't figure it out. And eventually it was another GP that was visiting the practice that asked, was there any autoimmune diseases in the family? And there was. My aunt, actually, that lives here in Kerry, has it. They said, right, we'll send you for this particular test. Mm. And I was like, you know, I was kind of thinking, yeah, this is another brush off sort of thing, you know, that. But when the test came back positive, we were kind of, whoa, okay, so at least now we have a diagnosis. And as I say, that was kind of putting an answer to all my symptoms. And like, depression is a big thing with lupus as well. Right. So as you can imagine, been told, you know, you're 25 stone, and if you don't do something about your weight, you know, you're going to die. And it was kind of like, whoa, okay. So yes, I was kind of hit all at once. But
definitely, it just sounds horrendous. So how old was you at this point? What age were you?
It was 4.5 years ago. So I'm 41 now. So I was 36 and a bit. Yeah.
So just to go back to that conversation, when you left the surgery, the doctor's surgery, what was going through your mind apart from this obviously worry that you're going to be carrying out the box?
Yeah. The first thing I thought of was kind of, okay, did that really just happen? You know, because it was all kind of, I had the positive diagnosis as well at the same time. And then he, as I say, he said about the weight or losing the needing to lose weight. And as I say, it was kind of all hitting me, but it was only when I got home and I tried to climb my stairs to go up to my bedroom. And I realized this had to stop, like, because I literally couldn't climb my stairs. I was taking 3 steps and having to sit down for a breather.
Oh, goodness.
And that was, it was all kind of like, how long is this going on? I didn't, you know, I mean, it had to have been going on for a long time, but I just didn't see it. I didn't, you know.
Did it feel just like a wake-up call to what?
Absolutely.
Actually were the reality of it all.
The reality of it all, yeah. So I went online and researched, you know, things. I didn't want these. I mean, we've all tried them, I'm sure. The shake diets or the blood group diets or all of those. I didn't want one of those fatty diets.
No.
I wanted something to be able to eat healthy, you know. And I researched it a bit, and I found Slimming World online, and basically I joined it and I started following the plan. In almost 11 months I had lost 10 stone, so in the bones of a year I'd lost 10 stone.
My goodness.
Even up to kind of 7.5 stone, people didn't notice I'd lost weight, which was kind of they were kind of, you know, it was coming up to it, and like I'd change the hair and they'd say something to me like, is there something different about you? And I'd say, yeah. And they'd go, oh, your hair, you've changed the colour. Or whatever. Like, no, I've lost weight. And they're like, kind of, oh, yeah. You know, it was kind of, you had to tell them. And I was very disappointed at the time, because I felt like I was doing great. Like,
yeah, you were, definitely.
Yeah. So, and as I say, then I the same stairs that I couldn't climb, I had a fall down, and I broke my pelvis in 2 spots. I broke my tailbone and I fractured my femur. And the doctor, actually, when I went over to the emergency department, he took one look at me and he said, if you were still the weight you were, you wouldn't have done any damage. And I was like, well, would you prefer the weight or would you prefer to break the bones?
Great news, then.
Great news, like, yeah. So
I was just a nurse in silence then. So you broke your pelvis, your femur.
I fractured my femur and I broke my tailbone.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And that was four steps of my stairs. So yeah, I was very lucky because there's a glass panel in my front door. And the only reason I didn't go through the glass panel was because I have a doggy gate, a baby gate for the dogs to keep them from going up the stairs. So right, gate stopped me.
Right, blimey.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you've got this injury. How was life then? Was you in hospital?
I was laid up at home, and I had family. My mum and my aunt and uncle came over to help me, and they looked after me. I was laid up for the bones of 2 months, and of course Comfort-Aid, because I couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
And I quickly gained 2 stone, so I was back down to having lost 8 stone. And then when I got better, when I was literally back on my feet again, I found a Slim and More group, because I had been doing it obviously online up to that. And I found a group in Castle Island, as it was then. It's since moved to Tralee, which is further over the road. But I went there and I joined the group, and I found the group much better, because you kind of feel like, even though there is support online, you're not physically talking to, you know, or having a person there that you can talk to, or and like, I had a lot kind of to deal with as well, the fact that I gained 2 stone so quickly. I was kind of thinking, am I going to put it all back on again, you know? So
I think there's a lot to be said for a group, and the group that I'm a member of, it feels, because I've been going so long, it feels more like I won't say family, but a little bit like a family, really.
It is. It is, absolutely. And
obviously, because often people like myself will comfort you, there's other things going on. It's not just a case of, you know, we're all going to this group and we're all following an exercise to lose weight. Obviously, there's other things that's going on that allows us to comfort you, and, you know.
Yes.
And
as we say, life gets in the way.
We'll have turns of crying. So
yes.
Cried at some point. But just going back a little bit to what you said about being laid up for 2 months. Now, having lost that weight and having that time on your hands, because I know that you've got quite a busy life, what was going through your mind in those 2 months?
What was going through my mind was getting better quickly to get back to, I'm a carer for my dad. So he's not physically disabled. He had a massive stroke in 2000. Mentally, as in concentration wise or anything like that, he's not great. So he needs someone to help him and you know, do things out, like his medication and things like that, cook his meals and you know. So
that was my drive
to get better, to be able to look after my dad again, because I was relying on my cousins and friends and whatever else to help me out that way. So and family, obviously. Wow. So I don't do things like that. I never did.
Wow. So lots of changes then with how you were eating to how you were eating with Slim as well. I just want to talk us through. Just want to tell us about what your diet was like before Slimming World.
Yep, basically I lived on bread, toast, potatoes, you call them crisps, and chocolate.
Wow.
That was my diet, literally. So I had to learn to eat healthy. I had to learn to eat proper food.
Right.
So, yes. So
when you say that was your diet, just talk us through a typical day.
Typical day, I would get up and I'd have about 3 cups of coffee with 2 bars of chocolate. For breakfast. Lunch then would be 4 or 5 sandwiches of crisps and maybe another bar of chocolate, and then the same for the evening meal for tea. I didn't eat anything.
Just craving the chocolate then, is the sugar the sugar rush that you
sugar
were...
yeah Coke, full fat Coke was another thing I used to drink gallons of, you know. And now, like, I would be the Coke Zero if I do have one, but I don't do it, because I kind of feel that's one of my triggers.
Okay.
So if I have one, I keep going with it. Yeah. And I'm not talking about a can. I would be talking about 2 liters of it. Like,
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So those
habits around your food with the chocolate and the crisps or potatoes.
Potatoes. Yeah.
Is that something that is that a way that you'd always eaten, for example, when you was at school? Is that a pattern that you got into then? Just not like...
I was thinking about this actually, and I think where my love-hate relationship with food started, healthy food, was I was in my grandmother's kitchen, and I have a twin brother. So there was myself and my twin brother and my two cousins. They were younger than us, but my grandmother had been shopping and she came back with potatoes and chocolate for the three of them, and she handed me an apple and she said, you eat that, you're too fat. As in, you're not getting the potatoes or the crisps, you're getting the apple.
Oh, bless you.
Now, do you know, I was 5 years of age. She obviously meant well, but it has stuck in my mind as one of the things, and I always had a rebellious nature. So I think that's where my love-hate relationship started, that I was going to show her that I could have my potatoes and my chocolate and I wasn't going to eat the apple. And I'm the type of person, as I say, if I set my mind on doing something, I will do it. And, you know.
Yes, it's all almost like a behaviour that you develop to protect yourself as a 5-year-old.
Protect myself.
It's just continued through your adult
life. True, to my adult life. Yeah, absolutely.
Told, obviously, being put in a box to snack out of it, I guess.
It did, it did.
And a magic spell in it just... That word, this conversation, that worked with you.
Yes, exactly. I think it was, I suppose the doctor kind of thought, well, if I don't kind of, you know, put this as bluntly as possible, it's not going to, it's not going to get through to her, like that she's going to have to do something about it. So,
I think for a doctor, it must be so hard, you know, because obviously they don't want to upset, but they want to make sure they're there for your health, and sometimes they just have to have these really harsh, difficult conversations.
Exactly.
Healthy and do something about it, I guess.
Yes, I was listening actually to a radio show here recently, and it was the doctor was saying that he had to have a conversation with a mother about her child, and he said, like, no matter what way he was putting it to her, she didn't get it, like that the child was morbidly obese. And so he had to say it bluntly, and there's now supposedly a court case going on about it because because she didn't like the way he put it. But and I was like, oh my god, like that's so, you know, if all he was trying to do was his job and trying to make the child healthy and whatever else. And I suppose, having been there and having had that conversation, I kind of think, you know, I understand it from the doctor side of things. But then I also understand it from the mother's side of things, like that she felt that he was saying she was neglecting the child or whatever. So, you know,
it's a difficult thing, isn't it? It's a fine line. I certainly wouldn't want to be the one giving that advice.
Given the advice, exactly.
As a mother myself, I'm quite protective of my son. So
of yours,
stepdaughter. So it's, you know, I wouldn't. Yeah, I think I'd probably. It's like a natural instinct, isn't it, to retaliate?
Isn't it? Yes.
Now you've lost this weight. What changes have you noticed in self-care? For example, shopping, which is my love. Enjoy shopping before? Do you enjoy it now? Has anything changed with that?
Oh, absolutely. I hated shopping because, as I'm sure you're aware of, going into changing rooms, and when I was as big as I was wearing a size 30 pants and a size 28 top. So you can imagine it was very hard to try and find clothes to wear. Yeah. In those sizes, and it was always black. There was never anything colourful, and it was kind of what fitted you rather than what suited you or what, you know, what you liked. And as I say as well, like, it was always kind of very old fashioned. You know, you couldn't get anything because, I mean, I'm still young. I still consider myself young, early 40s. As big as I was in my kind of early 30s and upwards, so I was still wanting to find something that was fashionable, but you couldn't when you were that size. It was what fitted you more so than yeah, look good on you.
It wasn't like a choice. It was like what just fitted in.
It was what fitted. Yeah. It was what fitted. But now I'm going into shops like, I think you call it Primark over there, is it?
Right, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
What's it called over there in Ireland?
Pennies.
Pennies, right, okay.
Pennies, yeah. And like that was my big thing to be able to, this sounds awful, but all I wanted to do was to be able to go in and buy a bra or underwear. Oh. In pennies, because when I was the 25 and a half stone, I was a 46 double E in the bust, and so it wasn't like you were going into those shops and buying them off the hanger, because it didn't happen. No. So you were paying dear for
absolutely, yeah,
for big bras, you know. So that was my one thing, was I wanted to go in and be able to buy underwear in there. And you know what? When it did happen, I was very disappointed.
Was you? Okay.
I was like, I don't like these. So, oh, yeah.
That's climax.
But yeah, exactly. But now, as I say, I'm in a size 10 clothes, size 8 on top, a size 10 on the bottom. Wow. And I can win anywhere and buy clothes. And it's, yeah, the bank balance is kind of saying, Aoife, calm down a small bit. Like, but
oh, I'm sure yeah, that's worth it. I've never been a size 8 or a size 10, so one day.
Well, it's worth it, believe me.
And what about self-care?
Self-care, yeah. I always did my hair in different colours or whatever. I'm a natural blonde, as you can see.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm not. It's a bottle, but I have a very good hairdresser. So yeah, I always do the hair. My nails are always done. That's a big thing as well, because when I couldn't eat chocolate, I was eating my nails. So one day I decided to get the nails done, and they're always done now every 6 weeks. So and they're always mad colours. It's the nails now that are the mad colours, not the hair. Oh,
so people look at your hands now instead of you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, and what about exercise?
Couldn't walk to the end of my driveway, and my drive, it's not that far, probably about 10 steps, but when I started. But now I am, as I told you about the stairs, I couldn't climb the stairs either. Now I'm climbing mountains, literally. I have done the mountains. I've done Carn Tuathail, which is the highest mountain in Ireland. I've done that 4 times. And it's amazing. I would recommend it to anybody to do it, because like it's a totally different world up there.
Is it beautiful so surroundings?
It's absolutely beautiful. You can see all over County Kerry. It's fabulous. On a good day, obviously.
Yeah. And when you say hi, how long did it take this journey?
The first time I did it, I think I was 14 stone then. So I would have probably lost the 11-ish. Mm-hmm. And it took me eight hours, and the crowd that I did it with were waiting. They were down long and ever before me, like we had guides and all the rest. And God love that man. I still say fair play to him, the man that took me up. I hadn't a clue what I was in.
No.
My mouth gets me into trouble an awful lot. I always say, oh, I'll do that without thinking what I'm actually going to do. But yeah, I did it. But when I turned up at the bottom, the place is called Cronin's Yard. Yeah. I had a pink scarf and a pink hat on me and gloves, and the guide that I had for the day said, oh my God, I've got a princess. In other words, like, this one doesn't know what she's... Well, I didn't. I hadn't a clue what I was expecting. Like,
no.
I thought I was going for a walk, to be honest. But I soon learned it was a mountain I was climbing. But yeah, it was brilliant. I did the best day ever. And as I say, it took me 8 hours to do it, but I wasn't giving up. I was doing it. And when the crowd that I did it with, when I actually came down around the corner and into the yard again, they, you know, big round of applause, and they were like, oh my God, we thought we'd never see you again.
Oh, that's brilliant. And I think that's so nice when you've got a crowd cheering you along, or a
cheering
group
on.
Absolutely. Friends then, or was it a group that you joined?
The first time I did it with a crowd from Slimming World. So yeah, and then since
so
then
jealous.
I've done with, yeah.
So jealous.
Oh, we're great. We do a lot of things. Like in January, we do a 31-day challenge, which is we have to do some form of exercise for the 31 days.
Okay.
And it's done for charity as well. So it's lovely.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. So we all donate money then, whatever we've raised to the chosen charities. So
that's a really good idea. I think I'll have to suggest that our group, definitely.
Yeah.
So when you came down the mountain, could you actually feel your legs? Were they still working?
I will never forget the pain. I was in so much pain, and the first thing they said to me was, home now and into a bath of Epsom salts. And I think I fell asleep in the bath.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah. But I've since done it 3 more times, and I absolutely love it. Yeah.
The same hill, same hill, mountain.
The same mountain, same mountain, yeah. It's fabulous. Now, I've done other mountains as well, but that's the highest one in Ireland, so it's something to be proud of.
Yeah, and had you done any training for that then, or...?
I didn't try and a clue what I was agreeing to, you know.
I had
climbing boots now.
Well done.
I did, yeah. But I thought I was going for a walk. I didn't realise it was going to be as high as it was.
Goodness me.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm so proud of that. That is brilliant. That is really good. And did you take your step monitor with you? Did you count how many steps?
I did with the last time I did it. I think it was 32,000 steps up and down. We did. No, that was just steps. So I think is it 1,400 meters? I think. No, I could be wrong. Could be completely wrong.
It's not just a flat walk, as it is proper.
No, it's a proper climb. a proper climb. So it is. It's. I mean, there's about an hour and a half's walk up to it before you even start climbing. So, yeah. Anyone that kind of gets cold feet would want to get cold feet at the bottom.
And how was your consultant through your weight loss?
Very good. I've had two consultants, two very good consultants, because I swap. It depends on my days, whatever I'm able to, whatever group I'm able to make. But I go to my original one was Nora in Tralee. And then the other girl I go to is Saoirse in Kenmare, and I've had a great help from both of them. They're absolutely amazing. So yeah, I couldn't even if I wanted to say something bad about them. So
That's lovely then. Yeah. So yeah. Where you live, is it like a village, a rural community? Is it quite?
It is. It's a village, although the locals will tell you it's a town.
Okay.
I'm even though I'm 15 years here, I'm still a blow-in, because Dublin and Kerry are the rivals in the football, the Irish football, Gaelic, and I'm originally a Dub, so I'm known as the Jackie down here.
watch your back.
Yes, exactly.
I'm just wondering, if we was to look at somebody joining Slimming World, or not even Slimming World really, just somebody who maybe had a similar weight to your starting weight and just felt quite helpless really.
What I always say is, Rome wasn't built in a day. Mm-hmm. Start and take, it's your journey. It's, as they say, your mountain to climb. Nobody else can do it for you, but do it, because it's well worth it. I always say, great take advice. It one day at a time, one day at a time. As I say, even after 14 and a half stone, I'm still on my plan. I'm eating my healthy food. It's about healthy living, healthy eating. It's not about, a diet or restricting myself. As I say, I still have my chocolate. I just don't have 12 or 13 bars of it. I have my one bar or whatever. Yeah, put yourself first. That would be one of my big things. And it was a big thing for me to learn too, because I've spent my life, as I say, looking after my dad and looking after everyone else. And, but people think that when you say put yourself first, it's about being selfish. It's not. Mm. It's you can't expect to look after anybody else if you don't look after yourself.
No.
And as I said, it's Rome wasn't built in a day. You have to take it one day at a time.
That is such good advice. I think often, I know for myself and for others in our group, that they might have a bad weekend, and then a meal turns into a bad afternoon, that turns into a day, and it just like when do you actually apply the brakes? And I think that is, you know, that is a skill in itself, isn't it? I mean, if we're just able to have an indulgent meal, or indulgent couple of hours, and then just stop. I think for me that is something that I'm hoping that by listening to the guests that I will have on my podcast, something will click, because that is something that I really struggle with, and people that I go to group with also struggle with just stopping. And it's almost like, you know, I understand not to stop is going to mean that I'm going to be disappointed. So why can't I just stop?
Because you're not forgiving yourself.
No.
And that's a big thing. Nobody's 100% 100% of the time.
No, you're right there.
And like, we're all going to have, I mean, it's life. We're all going to have weddings. We're all going to have funerals, parties, you know, nights out, drinks with the girls, whatever it is, you know. Enjoy them. Go out and enjoy them. I do it. I go out and enjoy my nights out or whatever. Have my dinners out, you know, things like that. And yes, if I'm at a birthday party, I will have a slice of cake. You know, that's one slice of cake, not half the cake. You know, that extra glass of wine, go and have it. You know, you know, if you don't forgive yourself for having them, you're just going to go around in circles. And it's a big enough circle, and it's hard enough to, you know, to get back on plan. But forgive yourself is the biggest thing I have to say. You know, forgive yourself for going out and enjoying yourself, then you'll still keep going, you'll keep eating another one. And I don't know whether you've ever heard the roses analogy. If your husband buys you 7 roses and one of them dies, you throw them all out?
Right, yes. Yeah.
Or do you just throw the one that's dead out? So
absolutely true. I just really need to apply that. Love hearing your words of wisdom, and I'm so pleased that you found the mojo just to do it and get the weight off. And I know there was harsh words, but you've done it now. And one of the photos that you sent me in the flower dress, you just look happy, so content. You can see in the photographs how different you're feeling just by the expression on your face.
The expression on my face, exactly.
That's great to see. It looks like to me, you look like a lady who now feels free. You really do.
Oh, I am. I am, absolutely. Yeah, I'm living my life for me.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So thanks for joining us today, Aoife.
Thank you, Claire. Thanks a million.
I thoroughly enjoyed doing that interview with Aoife. I absolutely love her accent. She's so lovely. I think for somebody that was once 25 stone, maybe I would thought, well, okay, if they lose the weight, maybe they'll take up swimming, go to the gym, do all of those things. But to climb the highest mountain in Ireland, it just beggars belief. And she's done it. She's totally done it. And how can you not be inspired by her story? I think she's got so many great takeaways. And maybe when you listen to this podcast in December 2019, maybe after the year you've had, you might not be at target. You may not even started with your health and fitness goals. But maybe this has started a spark for you to think, well, actually, if somebody like Aoife can do this, then there's something in me that can do this too. Maybe your intention for 2020 will be just to start. Not put the pressure on yourself, just to start to eat more healthy and to move more, and that could be taking extra steps. It's not necessarily about going to the gym and pumping and doing the classes and going to run a 10k. It's just about moving more and making sure that what goes in is that bit healthier. If you find yourself knocking on that Slimming World door, then really don't think you will be disappointed, because I do find Slimming World has helped me tremendously. It helps keep me motivated when I'm really, really low. It helps keep me grounded when all I want to do is think about chocolate and binge. It really, really is the golden ticket for me to help me with my weight loss. It really, really is. And there's lots of other plans out there. There's Weight Watchers, there's keto, there's many, many diets. But for me, Slimming World is the one that I find that works. And I hope you find your mojo to get yourself started. And I'll leave you with today's podcast, and I'll hope to see you soon. Thank you.